Hello, word nerds. Welcome to another pre-G bonus episode of The Dictionary. The podcast is called The Dictionary. Will I ever change the name? I don't know. Maybe it's like The Dictionary from Spencer's brain. I'm Spencer, by the way, if you didn't know that. Welcome to this podcast, and let us get into some more of these new words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary. Specifically, I am currently going through the March 2025 list, and there's a lot. There's got to be well over 100 in this one list. And then there's the June list, and then there's the September list. Let's see how far we can get before the G's start. All right, here we go. The next word on this list is bombil, B-O-M-B-I-L. This one is a noun, and it is the bumalo, a small bony fish of tropical Indo-Pacific region, Harpodon neharius. I guess that's the species name. So it says the bumalo. Do I have to look up what is the bumalo? B-U-M-M-A-L. Looks like buffalo with M's instead of F's. The bumalo is a small elongated fish of southern Asian coasts, which is dried and used as food. Well, also, it just lives its life as a fish. It doesn't have to be food. But the bombil, is that just another name for this thing, this little tiny fish? Is it little tiny? I don't know. Bombay duck. Oh, that's another name for it, and that's what people call it, I think, when it's food. Bombay duck. There's so many names for this one thing. Moving on to bumbo. Noun, first form. This is, in Latin American contexts, it is a double-headed drum with a low pitch. Ooh, now I gotta look up a picture of a bombo. A bombo drum? I don't think I've ever heard of this one before. Yes, please. I would like to play that drum. Bass drum, large drum that produces a note of low, definite, or indefinite pitch. The instrument is typically cylindrical, with the drum's diameter usually greater than its depth. The diameter is usually greater than its depth. Well, these pictures that I'm seeing, that is not the case at all. The depth is longer than the diameter. I mean, you can hit it on both sides. All right. Must be kind of big if it's a bass drum. The bombo drum. Okay, moving on to now the second form of bombo, which is also a noun. Ah, this one is very different. It's not a drum, but it is a cheap wine of inferior quality. Let me just have a little sip of my wine. Whoa, that's a bombo if I've ever tasted a bombo. But I'm going to use the cask that it came in, and I'm going to turn it into a drum. Ba-boom, boom, boom. Next we have, would you pronounce it bomboy? Bomboy, noun. This is especially in the West Africa or the Caribbean. That's the context we've got. And, oh, yeah, this is bad. This is an enslaved person, typically of African origin, with supervisory authority over other enslaved people. So, because it's a new day, I might be able to actually get some more information if I click on this link. I only think I get a few a day. Or a few in a certain amount of time. Oh, no, it knows I was here yesterday. It's like, nope, sorry, you gotta pay. Bomb boy. Okay, well, you know, the word boy is in there. So that makes me, yeah, I don't like this word. I don't like it at all. But what's interesting is that they have authority over other enslaved people. So I don't know where the bomb, the B-O-M part, I don't know what that means in this context. Okay, moving on to... I have heard of this word, and I don't remember what the context was. Was there a movie with this name? Anyway, the word is Boricua, with a capital B, B-O-R-I-C-U-A. Maybe other people spell it differently, I don't know. This is a noun or an adjective, and it is a person born or living in Puerto Rico. Also, a person of Puerto Rican descent is a Boricua. I can't remember the context yet. There might have been a movie. I guess I could just look it up. Boricua Movie. I spelled that all sorts of wrong. Boricua movie. Yeah. It took place in Chicago. I wonder if I know somebody who was in it. That would be very cool. Let's see. Let's just scan through the names real quick. Do I know anybody? I might not. I don't know. That's probably where I heard it. But yes, a person of Puerto Rican descent is a Boricua. Next, we have Boster. Boster. Noun from... I don't have years in this. I don't know why. It's just the habit kicked in. This is an excellent, impressive, or remarkable person, thing, or experience. So just anything that's just friggin' dope as hell is a Boster. Never heard of that. Oh man, that was such a Boster. Who's using this? Are the young people using this word? Where did this come from? Next is, how do we pronounce this word? Is it braid? B-R-A-A-I-E-D. We have four vowels in a row, and two of them are the same vowel back to back. Braid, that's what I'm going to say. This is an adjective, and it is specifically talking about meat or fish, etc. And it means grilled over an open fire or on an outdoor grill, especially a wood grill. Braid, now I've heard of like braised meat, but that is not how it is spelled here. Braid, that's what it looks like. So yeah, cooking your fish on an outdoor grill, wood grill, something like that, it's braid. Next we have a whole lot of bush words, so let's get into them. We've got bush bash, two words, verb, intransitive, and it is to travel through wild terrain, especially by forcing one's way through thick undergrowth. And it says in later use, specifically to do so in an all-terrain, ellipses, something, an all-terrain vehicle, an all-terrain shoes, all-terrain situation. Traveling through wild terrain, forcing your way through thick undergrowth. It's a bush bash because you are bashing all of the bushes. I think of the guy in The Princess Bride. He's got his sword and he's smacking through the vines. Now that's not really a thick undergrowth, but you gotta bash the bush. Okay, moving on to related, a bush basher, noun. It is a person who explores or travels through wilderness or rough terrain, especially in a vehicle. So yes, maybe that all-terrain vehicle, that's what it was. They're trying to go through all of the bushes specifically, but also maybe an area that you just call the bush because it's wild and natural. Now we have bush bred, noun. The context is of European settlers in Australia. So this is unleavened bread made with wheat flour or similar. Just like the Jews when they were walking through the desert and they couldn't leaven their bread and they had matzah, the European settlers when they went to Australia, they also couldn't leaven their bread. They made bush bread because they were out in the bush. Most of the country of Australia is called the bush. And so I don't know what is bush bread? What does it look like? I assume it's flat, but this looks very leavened. This looks like a ball. Bush bread or damper, that's another name for it. It's a traditional Australian soda bread that can be made with wheat flour or native seeds cooked in coals or in oven. So I don't know why it says unleavened. But anyway, that's bush bread. Bread that you make in the bush with the stuff that you got there. Now we have, so it's bush bread again. That's how it's pronounced. But it is spelled bush hyphen B-R-E-D. Bread. Adjective. It is talking about a person. And it is born or brought up in the bush. Hence, having characteristics associated with a bush. Especially knowledge of nature. Or a perceived lack of... ... And I don't have all the information. knowledge of nature because you grew up in the bush, or a perceived lack of what? Now, I saw a movie recently. Can I remember the name of it? It was weird name. Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. This one, if I remember correctly, I gotta bring this over. Are they in Australia? It says the Bush War was like in the 80s, I think. I think it's gotta be, oh no, this was South Africa. I remember now. South Africa. Yes, that was a whole other situation. But because this little girl grew up in this very natural area, she would just go around and like play with animals and climb trees and stuff. So she was definitely bush bred. Not the Australian bush, the South African bush. All right, next we have bush name. Two words. Noun, it is Australian. And this is an Aboriginal person's name used within the person's own Aboriginal community, especially as opposed to an English or anglicized name. So yes, this seems like a very common thing that the Aboriginal people in Australia, obviously they have their own language and culture and names that fit in with that culture, with that language. But because all of these European settlers came in and colonized the place, they started giving them English names, stuff like that. So they were like, nope, I'm going to use my bush name in this situation, my Aboriginal original name. Aboriginal original? Original is in the word Aboriginal. The original people who were there, the people who have been persecuted and murdered and not treated well? Okay, sometimes we got to get a little political here. All right, now, okay, this is going to be a bad one, but we got to say it because it's in the dictionary. It is related again, Bush Negro, and the first letters of both of those are capitalized. So this is a noun and an adjective, and it is a member of a community of black slaves who escaped from captivity or subsequently of their descendants, especially those who settled in the mountains, .. These are basically I'm assuming America, but it could be somewhere else. The black people who were the slaves escaped, got away from the terrible situation, and then went to live in the bush, in the nature. It seems pretty great after the escape. You know, everything before that was pretty terrible, but then you're like, hey, we get to live in nature and not have to be slaves. Not a bad life, maybe. Don't like saying those. Doesn't seem right for me to say that name, so I'm not going to say it again. Now we have bush tomato, two words, noun. This is any of numerous varieties of the tomato plant, and then the species name is Solanum lycopersicum, and they have an upright bush-like growth habit. So does that mean that the whole plant grows? Like, it looks like a bush? Or is there something on the tomato that makes it look like is the green part like a bush? No, I looked up a picture and the whole tomato plant just looks like a tomato bush. So it's a bush tomato. Next we have bush week, two words, noun. This is used in various constructions to imply that someone is behaving in an inappropriate manner, or that the speaker is being taken for a fool or imposed, .. What is the rest of the sentence? Now, I am very confused by this one. Bush week? It's week, like 7 days. It's not weak as in the opposite of strong. Used in various constructions to imply that someone is behaving in an inappropriate manner. Well, we got to look this up because I think we need more information. Please. Now, this says it's a whole other thing. There's the idiom. Is this British? What do you think this is? Bush week? Bush week, in Australian English, refers to two related concepts. A period when country people theoretically visit the city, often treated as easy targets by city tricksters. Aha, so that's where we get the, what was it, being taken for a fool. So the as some people might say, the country bumpkins are going to the city, and then the city folk will trick them. And then, yeah, there's the idiom, what do you think this is, Bushweek, which questions someone perceived naivete or foolishness. The term and idiom originated from a poorly attended 1919 festival in Sydney, which became an ironic symbol of condescension towards country people, and also refers to a week of student pranks at universities, particularly ANU, and potentially for a JARS training event. JARS. Don't know what that is. Yeah, it actually says country bumpkin here. So this is an Australian thing. Bushweek of... Yeah. Interesting. So very interesting. Bushweek. Never heard of that. All right. Now we're going to go on to bushwalk. One word. Intransitive verb. Originally and chiefly Australian and New Zealand, which, you know, I think you probably could have guessed that based on a lot of these words. This is to go on a walk or hike in wild or remote areas for recreation or exercise. Also, I would say a lot of people do this as like a spiritual journey to find themselves, to be put in a different sort of situation. Now, I'm a little surprised that bushwalk has just now gotten into this dictionary. Seems like it's... I've been hearing about this since I was a child, learning about Australia. I'm going to go on a bushwalk. Gonna go walking in nature. Let's go walking in the bush. We're walking in the bush. All right, next we have cabron. This is a slang word, derogatory and offensive, and it is originally and often as a term of abuse. Ooh, also not good. Yes, fits in with the derogatory and offensive slang. It is an obnoxious or objectionable man, a man who behaves despicably. Also, later in neutral or more positive use, .. So maybe it can be used, you know, with your friends. You're being such a cabron. Now, I feel like we need to do a translate, because I think this is a Spanish word. Let's just change our language over here on the translate page. And there's the Spanish. And, you know, it's not a very nice word. Oh, in English, it translates to bastard. They're just words, people. They're just words. So, yes, if you hear somebody say cabrón, they're probably not saying it in a nice way. All right, just a few more. Now we have Californio. It's like California, but with an O instead of an A. This is a noun, and it is a Spanish-speaking colonial settler, especially a wealthy landowner, of a type who lived in the region corresponding to present-day California. So they spoke Spanish, maybe they were from Spain or Mexico or somewhere else similar, and they settled in the colonies, but they got all the way over to where California today is, all the way on the West Coast. Now, were they called? Now, I don't know enough about my history. Were they called Californios? Where does the name California come from? I mean, can we just look up, like, translation of California? And then they, let's see. It originates from the Spanish name for a mythical island in a 1510 novel, The Adventures of Esplandian, which was ruled by Queen Calafia. This mythical island was itself inspired by an Arabic word for a Muslim leader or steward. Another theory suggests it is a combination of Spanish and Latin words meaning hot furnace. So, interesting. Never even thought about it. Where does the word California come from? Okay, there's that one. And now, this might be my favorite. If I was picking words of the episode for these bonus episodes, I would pick this one. Calvin Ball. It's got a capital C. It is one word. Some of you have got to know what this is already, but here we go. It is a noun, and it is activity reminiscent of the imaginary game of Calvin Ball, in not following any discernible rules, or in which individuals act in a dot, dot, dot. Well, I could probably finish the sentence where individuals act in a crazy way, a nonsensical way, a nothing makes any sense kind of way. Calvin Ball comes from the classic old comic Calvin and Hobbes, in which Calvin would hang out with his stuffed tiger, who he saw as a real tiger, and sometimes they would play Calvin Ball, which literally they were just making up the rules as they went along, and it was brought up multiple times in the comic strips. And oh, that just brings back so many memories, Calvin Ball. So I don't know, are real humans in the real world playing something that they call Calvin Ball, where they're just, there's no discernible rules at all? Calvin Ball, let's go play some Calvin Ball. All right, next and last word is camera roll. Camera roll, two words, noun. On a smartphone, incorporating a digital camera or similar devices. This is an album or folder within an app in which one's digital photos, videos, and dot, 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 and whatever, all the other stuff that you save, your GIFs, your stickers, they're saved in your camera roll. You probably know what it is. Let me just go check my camera roll to see if I have any pictures of that person or that place or time. All right. So those, I think, were 20 words. 20 more words that you can add to your own personal mental dictionary. And we had a great time talking about all of them. And of course, we had a couple of rough words, but we had a couple of great words, like Calvin Ball. Any other good ones? Anything else? Bush bash. All right, that will be the end of this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast, getting ready for the G's. The G's are coming. This would be season 7. Holy cripes. December, January, maybe something like that. 2025/2026. Get ready. Get caught up. You better get caught up. I'm watching you. All right. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.